Hi there. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas. I'm Danielle Carter, the founder of She Said. We're a radio show and podcast that will be rooted in a diversity of topics. From sexual education to deep sea creatures, this show will be covering something new every single week. You can even help decide these future discussions by following me on Instagram at SheSaidHDX and voting on the polls that are posted. I will be posting one every single week, and you can pick which one you'd like to listen to most. So I posted a poll on Instagram's story feature, and just let me check here real fast on my phone. Between ASMR and Tinder, Tinder was voted on at 100%. I mean, Tinder is really interesting, and it's a good thing to talk about considering how many faucets there are to dating, specifically online dating. It is different for everyone. There are so many variables to take in. Like, I mean, you have gender, sexuality, race, age range, where you are, what you're looking for, and what you like. I mean, that's only like the basics. There's so much more. I personally have been on Tinder. I say have been on, like, I mean, I still am on Tinder, but I mean, I've only been active on Tinder twice. I'm only 18, so I do think that that's pretty understandable. I do think I should just jump right in with my first two experiences, and then maybe we could talk about a few of the crazy stories. Not my crazy stories. I actually had people directly message the Instagram account, and they told me all about their personal stories with Tinder. And I want to talk about at least three of those in particular that I have on my head, because, God, they were they were something else. I do have my boyfriend here with me, if you want to say hi real fast.
Hey, everybody.
So this is going to be his first time hearing some of this, too. because I made a Tinder account for the first time after having a falling out with him, my long-term boyfriend, Zachary. I'm not entirely sure what I was looking for, probably just a distraction, if we're being honest. Something I really recall out of my Tinder experience is just all of the people I blocked. Like, out of all social media platforms I've ever been on consecutively out of my entire life, I've blocked, like, more people on Tinder than I have on any other social media platform. I'm talking definitely over 100 people. I don't know if there's a feature to, like, review my block list or not, but if there is, I'm afraid to see how many feet long it is, because, I mean, like, it's huge. I guess harassment's pretty common, because I guess people feel, like, a sense of anonymity, even though, like, you're still, like, you have photos of yourself and stuff, and people connect their social media. I don't get, maybe they're just bowled through the screen. I don't know. I did get a good amount of weird messages too. My profile really didn't seem that weird. Like, I had a couple pictures of my hobbies, like me playing my bass guitar, and a couple of me with like my pets. I did have a couple of like provocative pictures of myself, like one with cleavage and one of me in like some really nice red heeled boots from my birthday. But, like, I mean, I had a couple funny and pretty ones, too, but nothing too weird or, like, too out there. Some of the messages were very point-blank and weird. Like, one that sticks out in particular is the message I was sent by an older gentleman who had super liked me. If you are not familiar with Tinder's platform, you swipe right to like somebody, and you swipe left to pass on them. And if you like somebody, like, you swipe right, they're, like, they get your profile on their screen, and then, like, they can have the opportunity to swipe on you, too. But Tinder has this other feature called super liking. If you press that button on somebody's profile, it immediately matches with you with them, even if, like, they don't match with you or they don't swipe on you. So you can message them first without having to match. And see, in that case, like, usually it's pretty good, like, oh, this girl's really pretty, I gotta message her right now. You would think that it would go somewhere like that, but no. This message just said, I bet your hair tastes good. Nothing more, nothing less. I did not reply to him. Like, I just quickly blocked him. If I would think about it now, I probably would have replied something a lot funnier, like, yeah, it really does taste that great. I had some last night. Or I was like, you know, you're not the first guy to say that. Like, I don't know. Something a lot, like, I don't know. I think I would have responded now. I was kind of a different person then. I didn't know about the age range study at first, so it was pretty common for me to get men like that. A lot of the people recommended to me on my page were, like, really old. Like, old enough to be my dad. God, that really reminds me of something. I matched with my urologist on Tinder once. I feel like I can make a whole short on this, but simply put, I was suspectedly having a lot of kidney problems and bladder pain, and it got so bad that I went to the ER, and they kind of relieved the pain, but I was referred to see a urologist. And when I was swiping, I thought I recognized the guy, but I mean, in person, he looks totally different, and his pictures made him look a lot cuter than he actually was. Like, I remember he had one with his dog, and he was, like, at the Grand Canyon and stuff, and his profile mentioned that he was a doctor, but I didn't know he was my doctor. I guess we both swiped on each other because we matched. and he did mention first, and he was like, I think I know you, and I was like, yeah, maybe. You do look kind of familiar. And he asked me if I had studied at UCA, and I was like, nope. And I explained that I'm from Little Rock. And then that extended him into asking me if I'd ever been to Children's Hospital in Little Rock or if I had been recently. And I had to think about it at first. Like, I didn't just jump to this conclusion that this man was my urologist. I was like, yeah, I am a patient there. And he was like, oh, really? That's weird. I think you may be one of my patients. Or are you a parent? Are you a parent of one of my patients? And I was like, no, I don't have any children. No way I'm your patient. That's crazy. So I'm like, I'm not sure. He does get a couple extra bonus points because of this funny joke he said. He was like, oh, I guess I'll just follow up with you in a few days. And I don't know, that was just funny because he's a doctor. I didn't think about it for a few days. Like, it went, phew, it flew over my head. Until I was checking the MyChart app, which is like a health app that hospitals use, and I was looking at my test results. But on the front page, when you log in and you open it, there's this border at the top that has these little circular bubbles with profile pictures and names of the healthcare providers that you've like seen in like the last 3 months. And I wasn't thinking much of it, but like there were all of the pictures of the doctors on my front page. And there he is, Rupesh, my urologist. I feel like I had the wind knocked out of me. Like, it was just like, oh, what? And it didn't occur to me that that could be my doctor. Or he was my doctor. Like, and it stings more because when I actually went, this guy basically told me that my pain was caused by urinary infections that were caused by unhygienic practices, which, Rupesh, if you're listening, screw you, dude. It turns out that I actually have an ovarian cyst that was causing the pain. I'm very hygienic when I want to be. I don't know. We didn't even message each other after that. Like, I guess like he found out that I was one of his patients and the idea that he was my doctor stuck. And when I went back to maybe go message him, turns out you are my doctor, dude. Like, awkward. He had already unmatched me. So I never saw him again. I actually ended up switching doctors, for a totally unrelated reason, but still, that was quite the experience. But outside the pile of creepy or weird hair tasting messages and urologist, there were a couple of gems. I say gems like diamond in the roughs, but that's totally inaccurate. It's more so like quartz and gravel. Like, the selection there wasn't that great, but like it was better than nothing. I did actually have lunch with one of my matches. It was my first time meeting anyone from the app, let alone meeting any man from online like that. And I was terrified to a point. But after, like, I started getting closer and moving in, it was way more awkward than scary. We did meet up at the UALR dining hall because that's where he went to school, and I was already on the UALR campus because I went to East End High School. I don't think sharing his name would be fair on his part. I really haven't asked to share this because I really don't talk to him, but he is an equal part of it. So for privacy's sake, we will call him C. And C, he's a really nice guy, don't get me wrong. He is really quiet, and I mean, I'm a radio personality, so it's already assumed that I'm quite loud and extroverted. I mean, I'm sharing my personal Tinder stories on air. So I'm sure you can imagine how our initial meeting went. We were definitely not compatible in any way, shape, or form. It was just really awkward. It was to the point that, like, people around us in the cafeteria were staring at us, trying to figure out, like, are they friends? Are they just meeting? Are they working on a project together? Like, it was so obvious. Maybe I'm overthinking it and I was nervous myself. I don't know, but it felt like everybody was staring at us. And I think that one of our only shared interests was video games. We did talk a bit over lunch, but mainly about ourselves, nothing else, like no interest in stuff. And you can only talk about yourself, your major, and what you do for work, and like what you're studying or what you plan to do after this for so long. We actually did end up talking about the weather. It got that bad. I don't know. It could have been way worse. Like, I mean, he could have been like a serial killer or something. And, oh God, the bar is on the floor, but it wasn't good. Like, I mean, he could have been a serial killer, but the date wasn't good. Like, I don't know. I mean, it could have been worse. Like, he could have been a weirdo or something, but it was just awkward. But just because it wasn't, like, absolute hell doesn't mean that it's any way good, you know? But even after this, somehow we ended up hanging out again. There's this gaming lounge called Spec Ops in Little Rock. We actually went over there and we played some Overwatch. And while we were there, it was really weird because one of the employees kept flirting with me, but his way of flirting was really obtuse. I say really obtuse, like it was like really out there. Zachary, you've never heard this story because I don't think you want to know about a date with another man in particular. However, did you know that this man barked at me in public?
Incredible.
And you know, this was because it wasn't C, it was the employee who was working there. And I don't know, we were playing some Overwatch and stuff because that's like one of my favorite games. I'm on the esports team here at Andrix, but like, and it was fun, but I wasn't entertaining the flirting. But C, who I'm not even dating, was like really protective over it, like clenched fists, frothing at the mouth type mad. I mean, like, I didn't really feel like arguing it. I was like, oh, actually, I'm here with him. I'm on a date with him. And it was just so awkward. Like, I cringed thinking about it. I don't know. Like, it was just really disturbing. Like, this guy was barking at me, and he kept talking to me, like, hey, little kitty cat, kitty kitty. And, like, he was like, I'm rum, 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 rum. And, like, the worst thing is this is before the idea of barking at people was made into an internet meme by TikTok. So, like, there was definitely no connotation to it. It was just a grown-ass man barking at me. Like, and I was so weirded out because he was obviously, like, at least in his early 30s, maybe late 20s if I'm being nice. And I just turned 18. So it was really weird, and it was not a great introduction. This was my first and last Tinder date. I figured out quickly that this was not for me. I will touch on my feelings more about it, I guess, here in a second after the break. Welcome. You're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas. I'm Danielle Carter, and this is She Said. Today we're talking about Tinder, and I was just finishing up discussing my first and last date with somebody who was from the app. Jumping back in, nothing was, like, actually wrong with C. He just seemed a little bland, like, I guess the textbook definition of normal. And I want to be nice with it. Like, there was nothing wrong with him. He's just true neutral. Like, if the dictionary was a person, like, they come in handy. That there's nothing bad about them, not really controversial or anything. Like, They're just, it's just there, you know? It's there for taking. And I'm sure that he has, like, met a lot of depth to him. Like, maybe he's, like, a wizard dictionary or, like, a dictionary of a specific video game that's, like, towards a certain population of people, and I'm just left out of that population. But it was like, there was no chemistry. And I feel really bad because he was super nice, but, like, there was nothing there. And while, like, I was saying our dates could have been, like, way worse, they were, like, not good at all. Like, we didn't really have a spark or a connection. And don't get me wrong, I do think that it's possible to spark, like, a romantic connection with somebody online. I mean, I was in a long-distance relationship for 2 years with someone from the UK. It's just that, like, I really didn't feel any sort of connection to or with C. It was like a child smushing, like, two Barbies together to make them kiss, like, kiss, kiss, kiss. And I think that's because deep down it felt forced in some sort of way. Like, I was going through a rough time, and I guess that's what I thought I should be doing, but I really didn't want to be doing that. And, like, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of, like, how deep it was for me, I guess, and I didn't know that at the time. But after our second date, we really didn't talk too much. I didn't ghost him or anything, and he certainly didn't, like, ghost me, and I didn't leave him on red or, like, anything. We messaged each other right after, like, thanking each other for hanging out and such, and we spoke, like, a day or so after that, but the chat log has been a silent graveyard ever since, and I do not think that anything will be rising from the dead anytime soon. On the contrary, I have also had a pretty good experience with Tinder too. This last summer, before college, I was trying to find some more friends before I started here at Hendrix. I only know a few people, and I only know, like, one person pretty well who I actually, like, kind of, I say grew up with, but I went to, like, middle and high school with her. Hi, Audrey. And, like, I know, like, a couple older siblings of the people I used to go to school with, but I was never too close with them. It's nice to have familiar faces, but, you know, it's also nice to have, like, a connection with somebody that you know really well. I just didn't know that many people. So I jumped on Tinder to make friends. And I put it in my bio that I was just looking for platonic friendships, and you'd be surprised at how many people were actually, like, also there for that. I ended up meeting a girl named Emily, and I now know 3 Emilys, and we divide them by my sister's friend Emily, original Emily, and Emma Lee, like the word, like the name Emma, E-M-M-A, and then Lee, L-E-E. I'm getting flashbacks to broccoli. we started about by talking a little bit for a couple days. Then we added each other on Facebook because I actually am a big fan of Facebook's Messenger platform. Like, it kind of takes the best features of almost every platform and it puts it into one. I kind of class it as Discord for older people. Because, like, if you don't play video games or you're not in, like, a smaller community, like, anywhere else, then you probably aren't on Discord. So, but everybody's usually on Facebook, so it's quite easier. And it just, it works nice. I like it. However, I hate WhatsApp and I hate GroupMe. Do not put me in anything with that. I say that as I literally have to be put in a GroupMe. but, I mean, like, we ended up talking a little bit through Facebook Messenger. And she and I played some Minecraft first before hanging out in person because she lived like an hour away and I guess in Cabot. And I guess that's just what we did to test the waters, essentially. We did end up hanging out in person and we hit it off. We had a ton of fun like thrifting and getting food together. We've hung out many times now. Her and I have like a good amount of shared interest and we get along really well. Like genuinely one of my favorite people I just so happened to meet through this quote unquote dating app. I don't think that it's nice to class it as a dating app because people are looking for all sorts of stuff. However, if it fits there, it fits there, right? It's just an umbrella term. A lot of people are shocked when I tell them that I'm active on Tinder and in a relationship with somebody. I guess there's this stigma behind it that this app is for casual sex. And when you're in a monogamous relationship, that's frowned upon. And when I'm explaining it's for meeting friends, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, sure thing, Danielle, meeting friends. And it's not until I show them like some of the actual cool people, mainly the women that I've met on there, that they ease up on it. I think it's important to mention that I always had trouble making friends with other girls. And I think it's because at a young age, I was bullied by like the it girls. And I was heavily outcast for whatever reason. Like, my parents were going through a divorce and stuff. Like, I already had it hard enough. But over time, I just kept this prejudice about, like, the mean girls or the girls who, like, had this certain, I guess, look to them. And I purposely segregated myself from them. And it wasn't until fifth grade that I actually had a best friend that was a girl. And I learned from this time that boys kind of suck at being good friends. Like, their values in friendships just differed from what companionship I was looking for. And I don't know, like I still have the One Direction blanket that this girl gave me, and I use it almost every day. And it's not just because it's sentimental, but it's also because it was just such a super thoughtful gift, and it's a really soft blanket. I've had it since I was 11. Like, and I don't even like One Direction anymore. It's just one with all of their names on it. But I don't know, it was super thoughtful, and it was such a nice gift, and she was such a nice person, and like, it's definitely one of the better times in my life that I reflect on, and I realize that it made me who I am today. And you know, I was explaining this idea of like staying away from pampering myself to like, and like staying away from like it girls to the girl who was waxing my legs and giving me a spray tan. Like, do not judge me. Actually, you know what? Judge me. Judge me all you want, because there's nothing wrong with waxing your legs and getting a spray tan. Like, at all. Do what you want, right? And, I mean, I had my reasons for doing it, and I just explored it. And I actually really found out that I like having my eyebrows waxed. I look totally different after I have my eyebrows waxed. It's like actual sorcery. But I was explaining to this girl, because she was really nice, and I had to sit there for like 3 hours while she had to wax my meat chunks. And I had a bikini done, so I mean, I was gonna get up close and personal. Why not bring out all the emotional baggage too, right? So like, I explained that I stayed away from pampering myself and that this was new to me because I associated it with those girls who were mean to me. And I've since found out that I actually really do like a lot of feminine stuff. And I was just ostracized and I missed out on a lot. I think that's why I don't really let others' opinions I don't let myself care about them much anymore, because I missed out on a lot simply because I did not want others to think a certain way about me, which sucked. I have made up for it quite a bit. I promised myself that I will never ever let anybody else's subjective thoughts dictate my actions. And I mean, of course, like, I care about, like, my appearance and, like, the first impressions and stuff. That's stuff that everybody cares about. And that stuff is still important, and it has an intrinsic value to us as humans. It's just that, like, through a surface, people will always have these thoughts. They'll take them to their grave if they want. Like, I mean, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if there's not an afterlife or, like, a rebirth, then hell, dude, this is your only life. Enjoy stuff while you want to. I don't know. Like, as long as it's not hurting anybody else, like, who cares? Whew, we're unpacking a lot of feelings today, aren't we? I mean, but I feel like this is relevant because it shows how badly I crave this connection with anybody. And everybody, and I feel that this intertwines to, like, my current phase in life, I guess. It's just, everybody tells you how difficult adulthood is, but they fail to mention that the aspects of your life when you're a child or a teenager, they also suddenly become difficult. It's like the enemies in a video game. They start at level one, and these enemies continue into like the final boss battle, or they're like minions, but their health goes up, or like they're harder to defeat, or they like have higher attack damage. It's just because like the things that you're used to doing, those also get hard. Like keeping up with friends and maintaining a hobby and lifestyle. Not to mention other stuff like switching your insurance and primary care provider. That's a topic for another day. Like, but my point is, keeping friends in adulthood is really hard. Like, really freaking hard. My mother, for example, She always had the same problem as me. Other women outcast her for whatever reason from, like, when the time she was a child. And she developed a prejudice because of this. And then, and then anytime she tried to make friends with other women or moms, they weren't interested. And she just felt out of touch with any social groups and stuff because she really didn't drink or have, like, any defined hobbies like that. Which sucks because, like, my mom is hilarious and really a kind person, like, when she wants to be. Like, I mean, usually she is. She's still my mom, right? So it's not really crazy for me to take a quote-unquote easy way out of making friends. Well, at least not in my opinion. I've still made some new friends at school, like, despite it being online. I haven't made friends just through Tinder. I think that just Tinder kind of helped give me a boost up kind of to making friends in the same area and stuff. Us humans, we're made to adapt. It's the same with online dating. It's a whole culture that we have adapted to. The same with online learning. Like, friendship doesn't really have any barriers, at least good friendships. For, like, instance, there was this person I met during the online club fair, Lynn. I'll probably have them on for an episode. Super sweet, really nice. We met and immediately connected because we had a shared interest in the circus club on campus. And we ended up becoming snail mail pals, and, like, they're learning remotely outside of Arkansas, so they're not in-state. And I sent this, like, box of goodies in a really nice letter, and I worked, like, really hard on it, and I'm excited for them to get it. Like, it took a lot of creative focus. Like, when I'm thinking creatively, I more so splatter the paint on the canvas type of artist, not, like, very gentle brushstrokes type artist. I'm not like that. My creative brain is just a creative outlet brain. It doesn't work that way. So, like, to make this look nice, it was an actual task for me. And so I'm really excited for them to get it. And I think that it's important to have a good chunk of friends. Having friends is, like, a really important quality to me. So I make sure to allow for balance in my life that gives a percentage of myself to developing and maintaining my relationships with people. Tinder is a way for me to do that. And surprisingly, I wasn't alone in this idea. Because there were a lot of women that were there on the app doing the exact same thing as me. Tinder is a fast-paced app, and you can do it pretty much anywhere. Like, it only takes a few minutes to go through some profiles, some bios, and send messages to the people that you think you'd get along with. And it's convenient and practical for everyday, busy young adults. And I mean, granted, there are some things that you have to pick and choose, like the way that I had to quickly block people and weirdos. But I feel like there's such a heavy filter that there's easy ways to block people and stuff. And it's easy to, like, find people and weed the bad ones out. For instance, I will not be giving names simply because this person is on campus and I know they are on campus just because that's how we met. Tinder has a feature where you can, like, put your university in there and it shows you people who are also on campus with you. But they got mad at me and they're like, you know, you're leading people on. You have a boyfriend and you're just looking for platonic friendships. Like, dude, I don't know if my man, like, didn't feel like reading or he was just quickly swiping based on photos. But Tinder bios, they could be any length, really. And there is a character limit, but I don't know it off the top of my head. But the first chunk of your Tinder bio shows, like, the first three sentences at least. And in my bio, literally, like, you did not even have to click on my profile full view. You just had to, like, as you're swiping, maybe read the top line of it, looking for platonic friendships only. Like, I didn't say looking for friends, I said platonic friendships. And I made it really clear up front. Like, I told him in the messages that I'm not interested in dating and stuff, that I'm here for friends. And I don't know, like, I got a couple reactions like that, which kind of put me off of it for a while. But it's the good ones, it's the good reactions and the good friends that I've made that kind of, like, keeps me on there. I don't like to close those doors. This episode has, like, quickly transitioned from Tinder to friendship. And I'm actually okay with that. Like, given that I just talked about my experiences with Tinder for the last, like, 20 minutes, and the better of them were based around platonic friendships, I think it's okay to talk about friendships. I think that the app gets a really bad reputation simply for existing because people use it mostly for casual sex, which is awful. There's nothing wrong with sex, inherently. Like, if both parties consent and they're adults, there's no big issue. And an app for that shouldn't be demonized or put as taboo on society. Like, especially considering it helps people quickly create connections with other people, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And if they're using that connection for sex, whatever, so be it. Like, sex is cool. I just think that, like, my experience is definitely just one of many. And I do want to share some other experiences that I, like I said, I did have a few people directly message me with some of their stories. And I think I may be able to talk about all of them, given some time right now, because majority, I don't know, like, I think I have enough time right now. Yeah, I do. Majority of these individuals asked to remain anonymous. Privacy comes first when sharing information that isn't yours. So, like, please keep that in mind. Like, if you know who a person is, don't post it on the blog. Don't let anybody know who it is. But I really doubt that there's going to be enough details to do that. Just please keep it in mind. And I will see you right after the break. And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas. I'm your host, Danielle, and this is She Said. This week, we're discussing Tinder, and I'm about to share with you some of the crazy stories sent to me in by some other listeners. Just getting right to it, first up, we have a submission from a 26-year-old woman in Ohio. She says, "A few years ago, I was dating this girl, so already we got some LGBTQ drama. All right, let's go. Come on, guys, let's go. So a few years ago, I was dating this girl, and her father really hated me, which was a bit odd, as most parents love me, or at least lie about it in a really good way. I chalked it up to, like, maybe he was just a huge prick, and I just always called him out, and he didn't like that. I don't know. But anyways, her parents got divorced, and we split up a few months after that. Fast forward to a year later, me and my girl from Tinder had started dating and getting more serious. A few months in, we were at the point where she wanted me to meet her family, her mother, her stepfather, and her little sister. And I was like, why not? I have no problems meeting them. Let's do it, I said. And so she told me how excited that her stepdad was to meet me. And it turns out, like, we both happen to be Kansas Chiefs fans, and she was, like, super excited. So we get there, and I'm invited into dinner by her mother, and I'll be damned if it wasn't the same father of my ex-girlfriend standing there. I don't know. Jesus. Good Lord, that's rough. I don't know. Like, I'd truly mess with him if it was me. Like, I'd pretend I had no idea who he was. Like, if my current girlfriend had no idea about the ex-girlfriend, I would be like, I don't know who you are. What do you mean? I don't know. I'm like, you're probably thinking of somebody else. Good Lord. I don't know. I think it's funny to consider the possibility that he'd think that you're just trying to torment or mess with him, which is even better. Which, all things considered, that's still funny. Because he's a jerk. I don't think I've ever had anybody's parents really hate me. I mean, I don't think your parents hate me, do they, Zach?
Yeah.
Oh, ouch. I don't think they hate me,
I don't think they hate you, but they're not crazy about you.
Yeah, I think that's because, like, you moved out and stuff. They feel like I
there
stole their...
There are a lot of contributing factors.
But... Like, I guess, like, the fact that, like, I stole their little baby boy away or something. I don't know. I guess that's it. I mean, I don't know.
Only my dad can't really have opinions. Riff.
Rest in peace. I mean, like, I never really had parents hate me, though. Like, if anything, it's quite the opposite. Like, I had a good chunk of my guy friends' moms throughout middle school and early high school that tried to pressure me into dating them. It was really funny. Like, I always gave the good girl impression, I guess. I have loosened up over the years, but I'm also older now, and I think that my long-term friends' parents view me as, like, a young adult now, which I'm really grateful for, and I mean, that helps, so I'm able to have, like, more open and, like, be myself conversations around them. I do wonder what the outcome of this lady's relationship was, though. I think I'm going to be messaging her back simply because I want to know the ending. I just want to know how that ended up, if she, like, stayed with her, even though it was the same dad. I don't know. I don't know if I think I'd stay with it, just to, not if not for myself, because I like the girl, if just only to torment that man. I don't know. Let's see. Next up in the DMs, we have a short and sweet horror story. I once matched with my cousin. I don't have a name or any information. I don't know how old this person is, but oh, the face I just made right now. I can't imagine. Like, especially considering that I'm definitely repulsed by my cousins and their appearance. I mean... There's a train going, Brian, right now. I paused the recording, but I decided to let it play through because Zach's commentary is quite funny. I don't know. Who didn't tell the conductor that we were recording? I don't know. It was paused during then. Good thing, because I'd have to edit out your bleeps. And I only have like an hour to edit that out. And I'm going to have to go through like 40 minutes of things. So I'm just going to have to be like quickly editing it as I go through it. Good God. I mean, getting right to it, like, I don't know. We were on the girl who matched with her cousin. Yeah, that's it. And I mean, like, that means they both had to swipe right on each other. Like, I can only imagine this happening if maybe it was, like, a distance cousin or relationship to the cousin, and you don't really know or see each other that often. But, like, how does one just scroll and swipe on their cousin? Like, do you not recognize these atrocious people? Like, do you actually have good relationships with them or something?
Well, I'm believing you. You're, like, the only one who knows how to
relationship. I mean, like, you'd probably know what they look like, though, then, yeah, right?
I pretty much hate my cousins.
You just said I was alone on it.
But, I mean, like, most people I know,
I don't know, like,
pretty positive relationships. I mean, like,
I don't know, but I mean, I think that you'd know your cousin if you saw them on Tinder, right? Well,
I mean, you probably recognize them.
So, God, let us leave incest out of this show. I'm leaving incest out of this show.
For now.
For now. Shut up. I think we finally have saved the best for last, and I think it's best in my opinion because it truly resonates with me. Amy. No, it's not incest, Zachary. Amy, who is 19 and from Washington, sent this in. Thank you, Amy. She said, it's probably not as bad as some of the others you've been sent in, but I thought I was really hitting it off with this guy I met on Tinder until a few dates later when he broke down crying in the middle of a heated makeout session, telling me that he thinks he may be gay. So a few of you may have had your jaw on the floor considering that you're trying to understand why this resonates with me. Let it be known that my current boyfriend, Zachary here, was 100% gay. Like, he was a purse dog best friend to a lot of the girls. And at least in our social group he was, I mean, like...
Hold on. I'm going to break in here for a second and make some quick corrections. There is no past tense in gay. I'm still very much attracted to men.
Okay, I was getting to that. I'm getting to.
I don't like how you introduced that.
You were 100% gay. You're not 100% gay now.
I was bi going in.
You were.
I've always been bi. There is no like.
You said you've always been gay, and that you weren't.
I guess
bi.
I kind of conflate the two. Not on purpose.
Maybe
because
you. I think it's just because you associated yourself more with the gay men community.
I mean, I'd never really gone after quote unquote women before. Like,
so you were pretty much gay.
I mean, but that doesn't mean I wasn't attracted to women. I mean, that's not a fair way to frame it.
Okay. I mean, like, I guess that makes sense. But, I mean, like, it wasn't. I mean,
it's not like you turned me.
I'm not saying that I turned you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, I mean, you were 100% gay, at least to me. Like, you made it very clear that you weren't interested in dating women. And he used to talk to me about all the men he liked. And, like, I kind of had a crush on him for a bit when we were younger. And I just shot that down because he was gay. And until 2017, when he decided to try the label of bisexuality, or, like, try me and the label of bisexuality. And it seemed, like, really well, considering...
Talk about yourself like a cheese platter.
I see.
Try me.
Shut up. I mean, it seems to fit really well. I mean, your only other option was, like, a ponied horse girl, so...
We're not going to talk about that.
I know we're not. I mean, like, stop. He is going to be listening to this. I mean, Jesus, who skirts? Somebody said something?
The train conductor wanted to just come back and...
I don't know. Okay, but I mean, I need to keep this on track. I mean, like, considering, I mean, our relationship, this label seems to fit us really well, considering our everyday relationship. I mean, we're here three years later, still kicking it. I did have some doubt in the beginning, and scenarios like Miss Amy just explained played out in my head quite more, like, quite a bit in the beginning. However, it just is like, you're just a flamboyant man, which I personally hold the belief that gender is a social construct and biological sex is a scientific-based concept. So I try not to think of anything as masculine or feminine in nature, but sometimes I really do accidentally consider things, or just, like, it separates that way in my mind. Society does, and I'm conditioned that way. But less on my gender role views, my boyfriend likes makeup and is a huge theater lover. Favorite musical, Les Mis, and I think that says a lot about you in general, Zachary. But I think you get the idea of how this resonates with me. He's a man who is definitely not a one on the Kinsey scale. And I don't want to blame the young gentleman in Amy's story, but I feel that unloading that on someone else can be really unfair, especially if you don't know that going in.
That is not the vibe.
I feel like if you're going to be sexually active with somebody, it's important that you're like, your sexuality is open to them. That's important. Like, you should tell your partner if you're, like, questioning your sexuality. Even if you're straight, you could just be like, yeah, I am kind of questioning right now. Just so, like, I feel you owe it to them to tell them your sexuality, because you're going to be having sex, and that's important to that. It's also, like, just don't break down on them, but I give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there was other stuff going on, or maybe he, like, didn't have a lot of support. I do not have the whole story, so I cannot make, like, a strong judgment or too big of a judgment on this. All I can say is I've had more than one man break down crying early on in the relationship, and I do understand dating a man who is not entirely straight, which I myself identify as bisexual, so it isn't that big of a deal. But for women outside of the LGBT community, it can definitely be unfamiliar territory that takes time to learn and explore, which is, like, more than okay. I think that's just important to meeting people and discussing it and having friends who are different from you. Like, it's okay to have gay friends to talk to that about. And that's another thing with Tinder. Like, everybody's so different. Like, I've literally had, like, Punjabis on my page. And I literally had men of all different races, women of all different shapes and sizes. And, like, there was so much variety. The flavor, it's immaculate. Like, I don't know. I just feel like Tinder puts everybody in one big room, and that's cool. Like, it matches you with intersections that you match at, which is more than good. Wow, okay, well, we went over pretty much, like, all of it today, and it's only 9 in the morning, and we've already covered not only the concepts of Tinder, but also human nature, LGBTQ relationships, a My Little Pony-esque lesson on friendship, and, like, even more Tinder stories. I'm pretty much already thinking about next week's topics. I am considering talking about high school just because I have Zach here, and, like, the ending kind of brought that up. I'm not sure. I don't think I want to talk about high school. maybe we could do something like on deodorants or something. Like, let's talk about antiperspirants. Yeah. I don't think that'll do too well. I mean, please feel free to message me on Instagram or Twitter with your guys' ideas that you'd like to talk about. I'd even be more than happy to invite any one of you onto the show to talk with me. And you can send those ideas to the social media handle @shesaidhdx. I really did enjoy today's, I guess, not lesson, but session. Talking out loud is such a great way not only to express myself, but it also makes myself think. It's kind of like having an open-walled conversation. I do like having people in the room with me, even if they're, like, quiet through the whole thing. Maybe I can get a topic that Zachary wants to talk about next week. And you can talk more about it. I don't know. I'll let you rant on neoliberalism on my show. I don't think anybody.
I think that's a bit too political for.
I don't know. I'm sure. Audience. I don't think so. My target audience would be open to that. I'm pretty sure.
Take a vote on it.
Get I don't know. We can talk about it. I can make a vote on it. I can do that. We can just put make Zach talk about politics or talk about deodorant.
Deodorant politics.
I don't deodorant in politics. Oh God, I bet we could rate like which politician's the stinkiest and who would wear what brand of deodorant.
I already have a mental list like, in my head.
I mean, like, what type of deodorant does Ben Shapiro wear?
Probably none.
I like my man musk. I don't know how Ben Shapiro sounds to, like, in my head. I can't picture it. Like, I know what he sounds like, but I can't.
Hypothetically speaking, for the sake of argument, imagine if you put on a stick of deodorant.
I don't think that putting on deodorant is natural. It's kind of really, like these Transformer really, peoples. It's unnatural. Wearing deodorant is wrong. And if you wear deodorant, you are certainly a homosexual, which I am not. I don't know. I think we found next week's topic.
Dear liberals.
I mean, I'd talk about that for the next 20 minutes. I don't know if I should cut it out and make it into its own short or not, but...
Save it for next week.
I don't know. I think I'm going to stick a can in it for this week because I got to do some editing after this. I don't know. I will talk about politicians and their deodorant choices probably next week. Once again... I'm Danielle Carter, and I want to thank you all for tuning into my show, She Said. I'll be back next Monday. Please don't miss me too much.